a Shir starts the Ez Hashem at the top of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, about four lines from the top, with the words Ahu Gavra. Ahu Gavra di Amalei Lechavre. There once was this man who said to his friend, E Mizvinanala Lihayara, if I am ever going to sell this land, Lecha Mizavinana, I will sell it to you. Now this was not just a friendly gesture, they made a kinyan to the effect that if and when he sells this land, he will sell it to his friend. However, when it came down to it, Azal Zavna Liyina Shachrina, he went and he sold the land to someone else. Amar Rav Yosef Kana Kama, it is the first one that is kind of the land. Amar Abaya, so Abaya asked V'holei Pasak, but they never settled on a price. And Hanami, the first person made a kinyan, but he knew that the key to the whole deal would be their agreement on the price. And as long as they did not discuss the price yet, then the seller always has a way out. He can always charge any amount of money that he wants, and the kinyan would become batel. So in a chanami, you have to go through a kinyan in order to acquire a karka, and they went through the kinyan, but the kinyan is really only based on their settlement of a price. Imenotem, and how do we know the chol hechad loy pasak? Wherever we don't settle on a price, loykon, then the kinyan has no real significance. The tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah. If somebody sells his wine to an Eved Kechavim, Pasak actually Mu'adad, if they settled on a price before the Yaakov made the Mashiach, that means that the Mashiach is a valid Kenyan, Dom of Mitarin, then the money is Mutter. Being that they settled on a price, and the Yaakov then makes the Mashiach by measuring it, so it turns out when he touches it later and turns it into Yayin Esach, it's his own Yayin that he's turning into Yayin Esach. But that does not affect the purchase money in any way whatsoever. Modad Acheloi Pasak. However, if the Yaakov measured, in other words, made the Mashiach, the measuring is equivalent to the Mashiach, before they settled on a price, in that case, Dama Visuit, the money is Asit. Being that they didn't settle on a price, the Mashiach is not valid. If the Mashiach is ineffective in rendering this wine the possession of the Yevet Kechazin, when he later touches it and turns it into Yayin Esach, it is the Yid's wine that he turns into Yayin Esach. And the Mela, when he pays for it, it comes out that he is purchasing Yayin Esach from the Yisrael. So you see, Befeish from the Mishnah, that the key to make the Mashiach effective is the settlement of the price. So in our case, too, if they didn't settle on a price, then the first Kenyan should not be valid. Zakti Gemara Vaitan, my Hava Allah, what was the Maskan over here? Zakti Gemara, my Hava Allah, Kid the Kalam Nian. What do you mean, my Hava Allah, what the Maskan is? You see, we have a Befeish in Mishnah. That as long as they didn't settle on a price, the kinyan is not valid. And so the Gemara no, because it's not a right from the Mishnah. Dilma chumra the Yayin Nesach shani. But Yayin Nesach is always very machmeh. And they said the Mashiach should not be valid unless there is pisuk dum, unless there is a settlement of a price. But a regular mekach imamker, maybe the kinyan would be valid. If they both agreed, even though they did not settle on a price, perhaps the kinyan should take effect. Mamela in our case, where the first person made a kinyan to buy the field, to acquire the field, although they didn't settle on a price, it should still be his, and the second sale should not be affected. Zakti Gemara Tashma, I will show you where we have a case which is not Yayin Esach, and despite that, we say that without any settling of the price, the Mashiach is not effective. The Yomar Vidi Barav and Uvda have the Beit of Chizda, a story occurred by Rav Chizda, this similar Shaila, and the Rav Chizda Beit of Huna, Rav Chizda referred it to Rav Huna, Yipashtei Mehon, they were pashted it from the following. The Tanan, the Girsa is the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Mashach Chamarav Ipayala. If somebody was walking along with his wagon drivers, pulling loads, or regular workers, holding packages or loads on their shoulders, and his friend went, and he made Mashiach. Mashiach, by bringing in the workers, or bringing in the wagon drivers, with their loads, into his house. Now this Mashiach is totally meaningless, because you can't make Mashiach on an item that's connected or on top of a person. You have to make Mashiach on the item itself. You have to draw the item towards you. That's the Mashiach, not when you're drawing the item with a person. So although this person made Mashiach, he brings it into his house, he was still not kainet yet. Not as long as it's still on the donkeys or on the people. We're going to see the next several lines of the Ez Hashem according to the understanding of the Maharsha. There are several girsas over here, different girsas in Rashi. This is how the Maharsha understands the Gemara. Now that this person, Lamaisa did this. He brought in the whole worker with the item, or he brought in the animal with the item. Bein Pasak, it makes no difference if he settled on a price, Ad Shalemada, but he didn't measure the items yet, and in order to measure the items, this means you have to take it off the people, or take it off the donkey, and put it down on the floor. If he didn't do that, he simply is not kind of the item. So the fact that they settled on a price doesn't mean anything, because we are yet to see a valid kinyan over here. For that matter, Ibein Madad, if he made a valid kinyan, he measured it, he did take it off the people, take it off the animal, but actually pasak. They did not settle on a price. Loi kana, the person is not kind of the item, the shneyan yichaylan lachzabihan, and both can still regret the kinyan. However, parkan, if he first unloaded the items, took it off the people, took it off the donkeys, and then brought it into his house, this is a valid meshicha. In this case, pasak, once they settle on a price, even actually madad, even if they didn't measure it yet, ain shneyan yichaylan lachzabihan, because being that he took it off the animal before he brought it into his house, the act of bringing it into his house is already a valid meshicha. So with settling of the price, the kinyan is final. On the other hand, if they did not settle on a price, madad ad shalei pasak, and although there are two possible kinyanim over here, the fact that he brought it into his house is already a valid meshicha because he unloaded it in this case before he brought it in, and now he measured it as well, which is also a type of meshicha. Still, because it was loy pasak, because they did not settle on a price yet, shneyan yichaylan lachzer bihen, both the meicher and the lekeach can still regret the kinyan. So we see clearly, nothing is binding regardless of how many kinyanim a person makes, unless there is a settlement on the price. And Mela, when one person promises to sell a field to another, although he made a kinyan and then goes and sells it to someone else, the first person will not have any tainas based on his kinyan, being that there was no settlement of a price. At that point, his kinyan is not binding. Zag di manavait. Ahu gaba, there was this person, the Yomar Lechavra, who said to his friend, Im zavinilo lihayara, you should know if I am going to sell this field. Mizavinilo, don't worry, I will sell it to you. And they made up a price, b'nei zuzi, for 100 zuzi. So here, Lechavra, not only is there a kinyan, there is also a settlement of the price. It's Pasak and Kana. However, Azal he went, and Zavna Yin Shachrin, he sold it to somebody else, but not for the same price. The Meir the Esrin, he sold it for 120 Zuzim. Amen of Kahana says, Kana Kama, the first person gets the field, because there was a settlement of the price and a kinyan. Mask of Yaakov and Hapakaid, but Hai Zuzian Suhu. This person said when he's going to decide to sell the field. But here it isn't that he decided to sell the field. The Zuzim compelled him to sell. In other words, the original agreement was, should I ever decide to sell this field at its normal value, then I'm not going to advertise it to anyone else. You are the one that's going to get the field, and they make an agreement to make a kinyan. Now, if indeed he would sell the field at its normal price, and there is a prior commitment. They made a kinyan that at the normal price, when he decides to sell it for that price, it's the first person that's going to get it. But Lamai said, that's not what happened. What happened is somebody came and he offered a tremendous sum. He offered 20% more than the value of the field. So this is not in violation of the agreement. The agreement was just that when he decides to sell the field in a normal way, then it's going to be the first person that's going to get it. But the field was not sold in a normal way. It isn't that he suddenly decided to sell the field for its value and sold it to someone else. It's that another person came and Mamash gave him a gift, gave him 20% more. Zakti Gemara the Hilchos and the Halacha is Kedav Yaakov min Ahapakait, that indeed it is the second person that gets the field and not the first one. Now, the Rishonim stress that if the terminology of the original agreement would have not been so vague, if the original kinyan would have been an agreement that when the field is sold under any circumstances, it goes to the first one for that price, Vade, the second person, would not get the field. But Lamaisa, the terminology of the first kinyan was not very clear. Or rather, it was clear in the sense that he said, if I decide to sell the field on my own for the regular price, it goes to you. That's not what happened. I didn't just decide to sell the field. I had an extraordinary opportunity, and the male of the second person gets it, and it's not in violation of the first agreement. Now, what happens if the first person comes and he says, well, I'll give you 120 as well. He's willing to match this extraordinary price. It is the opinion of some Rishonim that in that case the first person is the one that has to get the field. At least his kinyan should be worth that much, that if he's willing to match the price, he should get it. On the other hand, other Rishonim say that his first kinyan will not help him over here at all, because his first kinyan just states that there is an agreement. Should the field be sold under ordinary circumstances, it goes to him. If Lamaisa, there is an offer here to sell the field for more, than its ordinary price, then the first Kenyan has no bearing whatsoever. The second person can get it, even if the first is matching the higher price. Zak Digman Avait. Amalek. If a seller says to a potential customer, or to a would-be purchaser, he says, Kidishaimi Bitlasa, I will sell you this field on the basis of a price that three people are going to evaluate. In other words, Lavdafka field, any article, if it's going to be valued by three persons at a certain price, that is the price that we are going to agree on. Now, the halacha is that afilu treimi gavtlasa, if two out of three suggest a certain price, that is going to be the price. Reason being that on the basis of his statement, kidashaimi bitlasa, he is implying that they are going to work with the guidelines of regular bezdin. And there are two reasons for that. First of all, he used the word kidashaimi, which is an evaluation generally done by bezdin, and he also said bitlasa, three, which is also generally the number of a bezdin. Memela, we will apply the guidelines of bezdin. And if two out of three say one price, that will be the price, even though there is the one opinion that does not agree. On the other hand, if he does not use the Lashon Kidashaimi Bitlasa, like three people will value or evaluate, but he says Kidashaimi Bitlasa, the price will be as three people say the price should be, and it's Ad Di Amri Bitlasa. Then all three have to agree on the price in order for it to be binding. Being that he avoids the terminology of value or evaluation, he does not mean to apply the guidelines of Bezdin. He means to say they will agree on a price when they have three opinions all agreeing to the same price. If he says, Zok Tegman Avait, Kidashaimi Biarba, if he says that I will sell you the item and the price will be determined by the evaluation, it will be valued by four people, so here too he does not mean to apply the guidelines of Bezdin. Ad Diamri Biarba, all four people have to agree on the price. If three out of four agree but one does not agree, then the price is not settled. Even though he did use the term Kidashaimi, which implies Bezdin, but Bezdin is with three people, and he wants four people here. Now, why would he want four people here? If he's willing to accept the price on the basis of a majority opinion, the number four simply has no pshat. Why would he say four? Two out of three should also be a majority opinion. If he says four, if he's going out of the realm of how Bezdin works and he says four, it is clearly implied that he is only willing to settle on a price when he has a unanimous opinion by four people on one price. If, however, he will only have a majority opinion, even though he may have three out of four suggesting one price, the price will not be settled. And now, finally, the last case. The Kolshkin concludes the Gemara, Hechad Yamli, where he says, Kid Amri Berba. So here, on both sides of the statement, he is implying that we are not working with the guidelines of Bezdin. First of all, he uses the Lashon Kid Amri, not Kid Ashaimi, as four people will say, not as four people will evaluate, and he also uses the number four instead of three. So here clearly there is no shaila that unless all four people unanimously agree to one price, the price will not be settled. If the seller says to the would-be purchaser, when the article has been valued by three persons, then we'll settle on a price. Here clearly he means the guidelines of Bezdin, two out of three. That's not the problem. The Asitlasa, three people came, the Shemua, let's say all three agreed on the same price. But now, the Yamali Idach, the other says, how do I know these people are experts? Leisitlasa Achrine, I want a different three people. The Kimel Hutfei, these other three people are bigger experts on the price than the first group was. And the Rishonim explained that clearly the case here is that they were not Mavar three people to start with. If the original agreement was to pick three people, and then they suggest the price, one cannot say that I decided I don't like these three people. The chances are that one person may not be happy. But the problem over here is there was an absence of clearly designating any three people. They just decided that they're going to rely on three people. So now that three people come, and they suggest the price, one party says, well, I want bigger experts. We never agreed on these type of people. I'm going to put the Dinahu Demiakis. Being that there never was an official agreement to pick a specific three people, then one person can be miyakid. He can object and say, I don't accept the opinion of those three. I want another three. You're leaving this halacha very up in the air. How do you know the second group of people are going to be more qualified? Maybe the first three are more qualified. How are you going to determine guidelines to decide who's more qualified? It's true, they should have clearly stipulated who the three people they're agreeing on to settle the price, but Lamai said they didn't. Three people were called, and they were allowed to give their suggestion that should settle it. And the Hilchos of Kedafuna B'Reid of Yeshua, that if Lamaisa three people came and they were allowed to give their suggestion and they did, that will be the price. So it's mashma from the Funa B'Reid of Yeshua that the problem is only it's very vague. You can't just say, well, we'll call bigger experts. Because who's to say who's the bigger expert? However, it could theoretically be implied that in a situation where hakol moedim, where there is no dispute about it, that there are a certain three people that are clearly the greatest experts on this, and they are clearly greater experts than the first three people, then perhaps the person has the right to say, let's go to those other three people. If they didn't originally agree on a specific three people, they let it up in the air that three people are going to decide, l'cha'ira, that agreement is implying that the three greatest experts are going to decide. And if we have now determined clearly beyond the shadow of a doubt that there are greater experts, then they're the ones to decide. That is the opinion of the Meiri, that the Yosef Paschal that way in Cheshen Mishpat, Simen Reish Vav, Sif Hei. The Shach, however, disagrees, and the Shach says that Rav Huna B'Reid of Yeshua is telling us over here, once three people give their opinion, it's too late to change it. Even if there are undoubtedly greater experts, the fact is the three people gave their opinion, no one stopped them. Nobody told them before they gave their opinion that you aren't enough of experts on the matter. And therefore, once they gave their opinion, we cannot say now, let's look for someone that knows more. Their opinion will remain intact, and that will be the final price. Zakt the Mishnah Zakt. The way they used to pour wine is through a special funnel. They would first measure the wine, and afterwards they would put it into a utensil called a mashbech, type of a keli which was wide at the top, narrow at the bottom. This utensil would go into the barrel, and the wine would be poured from the measuring cup via this funnel into the barrel. So not less a mashbech, if somebody takes this mashbech, imadad l'toich tluchisoy shalevi kechad. He takes the funnel, measures the wine, and pours the wine into the barrel of the Yevet Kechavim via this funnel. Now, in the barrel of the Yevet Kechavim, there is Yayin Nesach at the bottom. Afterwards, he takes the funnel out, and the Chazari Madad L'Toich Tzluchis Shel Yisrael. He then measures and pours into the funnel wine for a customer that is a Yisrael. So the same funnel was both in the barrel of the Yevet Kechavim and now in the barrel of the Yisrael. Zakta Mishnah, Yesh V'Yakavas Yayin Aser. If it's possible for a drop of the first wine to have remained in the funnel, in that case it is aser. Now basically why it's aser, we obviously understand that some of the wine is transferred now from the cask of the Yevet Kechavim to the cask of the Yisrael. The Gemara, however, will explain this in detail, because l'chayr, it could be argued that there is no yayin nesach in the funnel. If any of the wine remains there, l'chayr is just the wine that he poured through, and that wine is kosher wine. So in the Gemara we'll see several explanations as to why it should be us. Zakt the Mishnah Vaita, this is the second part of the Mishnah. Hamiyarami Keli El Keli, if somebody pours wine from one Keli to another Keli. Es She'ira Mimenu Mutter, the wine in the Keli that we are pouring from is permitted. The Es She'ira L'Taychai, and the wine in the Keli that we have poured into Aser, that is Aser. Now the Gemara is going to explain that we are referring here to a barrel of wine that is being poured by an Eved Kechavim. And being that it comes via his power, via his kaya, Chazal answered it. However, Chazal only answered the wine coming out, the wine remaining in the barrel. Chazal did not answer. And in the Gemara B'Yez Hashem, we will see why. Zak the Gemara Tanan Hasa. Hanitzaik v'yaketafris imashke teiseach enoi chibur loy letome v'leve tahar. Nitzaik means a direct downward flow of liquid. The Yakatafris is when two things are connected via a flow of water that is coming down something slanted. Imashke Teseach means two liquids that are connected with a patch of moisture in the middle that is not Teseach Omanas L'Hatziach. It's moist, but it's not moist enough that if I would touch this and then touch something else, that something else should be wet. Any of these three situations are not considered links either for Tum or Tahar. Let us suppose I am pouring water into a Tamedic Akeli, or even onto a Sheretz. The water that is on its way down does not automatically become Tameh. Theoretically, if I manage somehow to grab this water, which is on its way down before it went into the Tamedic Akeli, or before it landed onto the Sheretz, that water would be Tar. The water in the barrel that I am pouring from would surely be Tar. And this is all because Nitzuk, the flow downwards, does not constitute a Chibur. Both in the case of Nitzuk and Ketafris. If it's tummy at the bottom, that does not mean that it's tummy on the top. The same is true for the Mashke Teseya. Let us say, for instance, I have two puddles, and in between the two puddles I have an area which is Mashke Teseya, moist, but it's not Teseya or Menas Latseya. If a Tamidic person touches one of those puddles, the Tumma is not transferred over to the other puddle, because the Mashke Teseya is not a connecting link. Now that is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, Eina Chibra Loy L'Tumma. Well, Loy L'Tahira means that if we have here a mikveh without our Boimsa, and there is a nitzak, there is a flow coming in, or there is mashke teifeach connecting this to another hole where there is more water, it's not a connection. And the nail of the mikveh remains without our boim sah. If nitzak would be a chibur, if mashke teifeach would be a chibur, I can connect the two bayris and say that altogether I do have our boim sah in the mikveh. But that is not the case, because nitzak, katafris, and mashke teifeach don't constitute connecting links, sai binageya tuma and binageya tahara. On the other hand, who has Byron, a pool of water in the ground, if you have the ground that cracks, there are crevices, and it's filled up with water, Chibur, this is considered a connecting link, Lituma, both for Tuma. If there's Tuma on one side via this pool, the other side will become Tummy as well, and Litahari can also be Mitzarif pools on either side of this for a Boimsa. Amar Rav Huna, Nitzak v'katafis imashke teseach. While it may not be a connecting link for Tumah or Tahara, Chibur, it does constitute a Chibur li'inyan Yayin Nesach. In other words, what the Funa is saying is that if I am pouring a barrel of wine into a barrel of Yayin Nesach, whatever is in the barrel I'm pouring from, being that it's connected via Nitzak, via the flow downwards, via the outward flow, it becomes Yayin Nesach as well. Amar Rav Nachman, the Funa said, Rav Nachman said to the Funa, Minnalacha. How do you know this? Is it from the Mishnah Hanitzak v'Hakatafris Imashke Teseach Einai Chibur Loy L'Tumah V'Loy L'Tahara, and therefore you are deducing that it's Dafka L'Tumah L'Tahara Hu D'Loy Havi Chibur, it only doesn't constitute a connecting link for both Tumah and Tahara, or Inyan Yayin Esach, but pertaining to Yayin Esach Havi Chibur, it is considered a Chibur, and the nail of the wine in the barrel that I'm pouring from should become Aser. If that is your Diyak, the name is Seifa. Look at the Seifa. In the Seifa we learned that when you have the pools of water, Chibur, that is a Chibur, both Lutumah L'Tahara. So am I to make a diak over here that Lutumah L'Tahara, who do you have a Chibur? Holy Inyan Yayin Esach, who do you have a Chibur? But if you would have this pool connecting Yayin Esach to other wine, then the wine should not become Nesach. L'chayah, that would not be the case. So from this Mishnah, there is absolutely no indication one way or another what the halacha would be pertaining to Yayin Esach. So how does the Funa know that Nitzuk constitutes a Chibur for Yayin Esach, and if I am pouring from a barrel of kosher wine into a barrel of Yayin Esach, because of that connection, the kosher wine at the top becomes Aser? Zvak Tegemara, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah. Notlus on the Shafach, if he takes the funnel, imada, then he measures and pours through the funnel, l'toich tzlu chisei shalevet kechavet. So in other words, the funnel is sticking into the barrel of the yevet kechavet. And the funnel has now been removed and is put into the barrel of the Yid. So we learned in the Mishnah, we turn out to Amit Beis, in Yeshba Yakavas Yayin, if there was place in the funnel for wine to have accumulated, Aser, then the wine is Aser. With what does this become Aser? The fact remains that the wine in the funnel, even the wine that may have accumulated at the bottom of the funnel, does not in any way really touch the wine at the bottom of the barrel. Therefore, Frag the Gemara, Ha'akavas Yayin b'maikamistra. This wine at the bottom of the funnel, how does this become Aser? So, Lab, it must be benitzuk. What happens is, if I am first pouring via the funnel into the barrel of the Yavik Kechavim, that means the wine in the funnel is connected via the flow to the wine, to the Yayin Esach at the bottom of the barrel. So if any wine remains in the funnel, that wine is Yayin Esach. And later, if I stick that wine into the barrel of the Yid, I am now having Yayin Esach into the barrel of the Yid. So Shemami no l'chayot sarayim from here, that Nitzuk constitutes a Chibur. Zakti Yomar, no, there's no Raya. Because Tani Rav Chiyah, when Rav Chiyah learned this Mishnah, he added something. He added an explanation. What happens over here is shepach sasai tzluchisai. According to the Bchiya, this is what is occurring. The person takes the funnel, puts the funnel into the barrel of the Yevet Kechavim and pours the wine through the funnel. But there is so much wine that the wine backs up into the funnel. So it's not just the flow that's connecting the wine in the funnel to the Yayin Nesach at the bottom. It's the Yayin Nesach itself that is backing up into the funnel. Memela, if there is a place in the funnel that can hold the wine, that can absorb somewhat of the wine, if he now takes the funnel and sticks that funnel into the barrel which belongs to the Yid, it turns out some of that Yayin, which is the Yayin Nesach, is going to wind up in the barrel of the Yid. But none of this has any shaykhus whatsoever with the concept of nitzug, with the concept of a flow being a leak. Zok the Gemara, but let's look at it this way. If Reb Chiya understands this Mishnah, if the way he had this Mishnah was bedafka shepach sasay tzluchisay, dafka where there is a backup of the Yayin Esach into the funnel, that means avol lo yipach sasay tzluchisay, if there was no backup of the Yayin Esach into the funnel, my, what would the halacha be? Apparently, lo. It would not be asa. Even though there is a connection between the wine and the funnel and the bottom via the flow, via the nitzuk. So let's learn from here that nitzuk is not a chibur. Tivshay, the nitzuk ain't a chibur. You can't just look at this and say, well, if we are assuming the cases that the wine backs up, it's only then that it's asr. And that goof is the chiddush. Only when the wine backs up into the funnel, then do we say it's asr. But just on the basis of the connection as far as the flow is concerned, that would not asr it. You can't imply that. Because pachsasay tzluchisay tishet lach, that within itself is a big chiddush. The Mishnah doesn't mean to tell me daf if it backs up, but if it wouldn't back up, it would be mutter. The Mishnah is telling me an independent chiddush, that if the wine in the cask is so much that it backs up into the funnel, the asr, that's asr. And Tosfos explains it's asr even though I'm looking at the funnel and there's no wine inside. If I take this funnel, which was in the barrel that had so much wine that it backed up into the bottom part of the funnel, and I now stick this funnel into the Chaviyas Shal Yisrael, his wine is asr. And that within itself is a great chiddush. Nitzak tibaya. Nitzak is a shayla. The Mishnah is not pashut that shayla. What a flow would be if there never was a backup into the funnel. But in other words, being that the backup itself is a great chiddush, then maybe you cannot imply from here what the Mishnah means to say, that it's only when there's a backup, that's when we say the funnel becomes asr. But if there was not enough wine in the chaviyas shalakim for the backup into the funnel, it's not asr on the basis of nitzak. You can't say that. Because being that the backup itself is such a tremendous chiddush, the Mishnah is just telling me that you should know. When there's enough wine in the chaviyas shalakim to back up into the funnel, this we know is asr. But as far as nitzak is concerned, we don't know. Now the Gemara looks to be pashut the shayla of nitzak chibur or not from the second case in the Mishnah. In the second case of the Mishnah, we learn that if somebody pours from one keli into another keli, the wine that was poured into the other keli, that is asr. The wine that we're pouring from is not asr. Now the Gemara assumes that it is a yid that is pouring kosher wine into a barrel of Yayin Nesach. So tashma. Hamayorim keli lekeli, somebody pouring kosher wine into a keli of Yayin Nesach, it says b'sevish. Es shemayorim menu mutter, what we're pouring from is mutter, but it's dafka that wine, the wine that's in the chaviyas that's mutter. Hadadaini daini. But the wine that is coming down, the wine that is in the downward flow, in the outward flow, connecting itself with the Yayin Nesach, so that's asr. So shmamina, l'chaya, this is a good raya, that nitzayk chibur. Nitzayk does constitute a chibur, that's why the wine in the flow coming downwards is asr. Sak the Gemara, no, not at all. E nitzayk chibur, if the Mishnah is assuming that the outward flow constitutes a chibur, then I feel that the gavi demana nami lisser. Then what's inside the chaviyas we're pouring from should also become asr. Because if the nitzak, if the flow constitutes a connecting link, then everything is connected. Not only the wine on its way down, the wine and the chaviyas that we're pouring from. And for the Gemara holakashi, that's an akashi, because it's possible to become maktiv kitufi. It's possible to pour the wine in such a way where there's a cutoff point between the wine in the barrel and the flow downwards. In other words, he starts pouring, and before the wine actually enters the barrel of the Yakum, he moves aside the vessel from which he is pouring from. That is why the wine caught in the middle, if somebody would grab that wine, that is asr. But the wine in the barrel that we're pouring from, that was not connected, even via the nitzak. But the wine in the barrel that he's pouring from, that is not asr. But we can still bring a right from this Mishnah that nitzak chibur, that the flow does constitute a chibur. Because the Mishnah circle site says that when the person is pouring the wine, and we're assuming that there is a yid over here that is pouring kosher wine into a barrel of Yayin Nesach, the wine that's in the barrel that he's pouring from, that's mutter. But the wine that's caught in the middle, the wine in the flow, coming down to the Yayin Nesach, that's also because it's a Chiba. Look at the Sefer, and you can be Medayik the reverse. In the Sefer, we learn that the wine that is being poured into the barrel, that's also. So make the Diyuk as She'ir L'Taychai Hudiyas. The wine that's being poured in, the wine that's in the barrel, that's also. Hadabaini Baini, but the wine that's en route, the wine that's in the middle on its way down, Shari, that's Mutter. So don't be medayik that the wine in the barrel that we're pouring from is mutter and the nail of the wine in the middle is aser, because you can make the diyuk reverse. The wine in the barrel that we're pouring into is aser, but the wine in the middle is mutter. So from this mission there is absolutely no raya whatsoever in regard to the shayla of nitzag chibur or no chibur. Tashma zaktigmaravaita, we learned, hamiyara michavayis labar, somebody pours from a barrel of wine into the vat. Here we have it spelled out, befesh. The flow from the rim of the barrel downwards, aser is already aser, even before it hits the bottom. So it's befesh that nitzak constitutes chibur. And for the Gemara, Tirgum of Sheishas, that the case over here is totally different. We aren't talking about a yid that's pouring kosher wine into Yayin Nesach. That's not the shayla at all. There's no Yayin Nesach here. The problem is, we have here an Oivet Kechavim that is holding the barrel and pouring the Oivet Kechavim Haniyara. And the reason the wine that comes out is Aser is not because it's connected with Yayin Nesach in any way, not that it's being poured into a barrel of Yayin Nesach. It's being poured into a barrel of kosher wine. The problem is, who's pouring it? The Asi Mikoichai is coming from the Koyach of the Oivet Kechavim. If that's the situation, that it's the Yovet Yechavim that's doing the pouring, so then what's inside the Chavius should also become Aser. Why is it only the liquid descending from the rim of the Chavius that is Aser? And for the Gemara, and a Chanami, there's a Svara for that. Koyach the Yovet Yechavim, the idea that it's coming from the power of the Yovet Yechavim, Midrabanan Hudi Aser, that's only Aser Midrabanan. So who did Nafag Liberoi, the wine that actually came out, Gazru Bei Rabbana, Chazal were Geyser. Chazal said, this wine that came out of the Chavius via the Koyach of the Nevet Kechavim, he was the one that was doing the pouring, is Aser. But Ahu Dilagavoi, the wine that's on the inside of the Chavius, Loi, Gazru Bei Rabbana, Chazal didn't ask for that wine. Zakhtig Manavait. Amru Rav Chizda, Lihani Savisa, Rav Chizda said to the Yiddish people that were selling wine, Ki Kailasu Chamra, when you are selling wine, when you're measuring wine for Rav de Kechavim, so be careful to make sure there's no connection between the Yayin Nesach at the bottom of their barrels and the barrel of wine that you're pouring from. And therefore he gave them two possible solutions. Either Katsi Ketufi, make sure there's a cutoff point. In other words, start pouring, and before there's a connection, before the flow hits the Yayin Nesach of the Rav de Kechavim in his barrel, make sure to stop pouring. Pick up the vessel in such a way that there should never be a direct flow, never be one straight outward flow from the Chavius into the Yayin Nesach. Inami, or Nafsi Nefutzi. Instead of pouring it in, stand a little bit from the distance and squirt it in. This way there is no direct downward flow from the barrel that he is pouring from into the Yayin Nesach that he is pouring into. Rav said to the Yiddish pourers, these people used to pour wine from one keli to another. When you pour wine, don't allow an Evet Kechavim to help you. Because Dilma Mishtlasu, maybe you're going to forget. And if the Evet Kechavim is helping you, the Shadisu Le'olel, he's going to wind up holding the barrel all by himself. He just may let go for a minute. And it turns out, the wine is being poured strictly via his kayach, the aser, then it'll be aser. As long as the yid is holding on to the barrel too, so the Yevet Yechavim is nothing more than a messiah, it's not considered kaychai. But he may forget and let go, and if the Yevet Yechavim is holding it by himself, that's going to aser the yayin. Zach the Gemara, who gaver there was this person, the Asik Chamra B'Gishasa U'Bas Gishasa. Now what this is a type of a siphon, where there are two tubes connected to each other. He sticks one into a full barrel of wine, with the other one. He first sticks it into his mouth, he sucks up the wine starting the flow, and then he sticks it into an empty barrel, so he has a siphon and he has a flow of wine coming from one barrel to the other barrel. Once the Nevet Kechavim came, and Anach Yodei Agishasa, he put his hand on the flow of wine coming into the barrel. Asrei Rava Lekuli Chamra, and Rava offered all of the wine. The Amalit of Abba Bamasna Lerava, the Amilad of Say Ravina Lerava, Bamai, on what basis did you offer the wine? Obviously, the Nitzak. So Sham in Elochai, there is a line from here that Nitzak Chibur, Nitzak constitutes a Chibur. You're saying because the Yakum touched the flow, this is as though he touched the whole wine. After all, the Yakum didn't touch the cask of wine, he just touched the flow coming down. Tzak the Gemara, no. Shani has from there, it's different. The Kule Chamra Agishasa Ibas Gishasa Garir. This isn't just a flow. Being that all of the wine is being drawn through this siphon is mamish like the Chavius itself. When he touches the siphon, it isn't just touching a flow of wine, it's touching the actual Chavius of wine. And in the Mela, there's no raya from Rav's Isra over there that he is of the opinion that Nitzayk generally does constitute a Chibur. Zak the Gemara writes, Amr Marzot Ebreder of Nachman, Kanish Kanin Shari is Mutar. What is a Kanish Kanin? Rashi explains it's a series of straws coming out of a barrel. When you fill up the top of the barrel, the straws get filled up, and it's easy for several people to drink at the same time. Even though there's a Nevi Kichavim and a Yisrael here, both can drink at the same time. When, however, Zak the Gemara, Hani Mili, the Kadim Pasak, the Yisrael. If the Yid makes sure to stop drinking via this straw before the Yevi Kichavim stops. Abul Kadim Pasak Yevi Kichavim, if the Yevi Kichavim stops before, lie. Now the situation is rather simple. When a person stops drinking from a straw, then the wine comes back down. As he is drinking, the wine just comes up. So as long as the Yid makes sure to stop before the Yevet Kechavim stops, there is nothing from the mouth of the Yevet Kechavim that's going to drip back down into the barrel. And Shalahu, he was mati for the Reshkelusa, the Mishta, the Kanish Kanin, to drink with Yevet Kechavim through these straws, as long as they made sure to stop drinking before the Yevet Kechavim, but stop drinking. The others say, we go now to the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, that the Rabbi Barasuna Gufei, he himself ishdi the Kanish Kanin, drank with these straws. Seemingly, the Gemara is telling us that the Rabbi Barasuna himself drank from a barrel together with an Evet Kechavim. He was drinking from one straw, the Evet Kechavim from the other. And of course, he made sure to stop drinking while the Evet Kechavim was still drinking. Tais, however, says that would be a little bit difficult to accept, that Abba Barafuna surely would not take this chance. The guidelines are rather difficult. How is one to make sure that he's going to stop before the Yevet Kechavim stops? What if the Yevet Kechavim stops drinking suddenly? And therefore, Taisus explains what the Gemara is saying over here is that Abba Barafuna drank Bechlal from this Kanish Kanin. Not with other Yevet Kechavim drinking at the same time. That he wouldn't have done, even though there's a way to do it. The Gemara is just saying he did this with other Yidden. And the Chiddush is that he was not of the opinion that this would be in violation of a simcha concept which Chazal answered after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. This whole means, this whole mood of drinking together with other people via these straws is a joyous act of simcha. It's a great symbol of happiness. And it would be a havamin to say that it's also after the Churban. Therefore the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Barafuna himself drank in this manner.